At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Who ordered the code red? Welcome to Coexisting with Rob and Maggie. That is your movie quote opening for this week from the 12-time Oscar-winning film, A Few Good Men. I'm glad you are here. I'm glad everyone is here.
Win 12 Oscars, really?
Every movie I ever talk about wins 12 Oscars.
Okay.
No matter what.
Sounds
in a few
right.
weeks. In a few weeks, or maybe next week. Yeah, less than a week. You can watch the Freddy Got Fingered review that Sean. Yeah, or I thought it was on the 11th.
Oh, 11th. I'm sorry.
Yeah, 11th. Anyways, they're going to be doing a movie review on the 12-time Oscar-winning film Freddy Got Fingered. So,
have you watched this movie?
I watched a different one, like Toni Storm watched. you get it. But anyways, thank you everyone for tuning in. We were not here last week because of some personal matters, but I'll talk about that in a little bit. But we want to say thank you to everyone that is here on, hopefully, Maggie, it is the eve of, who might be returning, Maggie? Who is that?
Well, it's not the eve, it's the day of.
Yeah, it is true. I don't know, but I meant the day of.
My mom, Ajili. Okay, it's my mom. Mommy's
Mama.
Home.
Mommy. Mama.
Yes, mommy's home. But we are going to talk about this when we start the show, obviously. The majority of the show will be Ajili talk. I'm sorry, guys, but it is what it is. If you've been watching our show since the beginning, you know. You know who I am. You know my love. You know, I flood every Royal Rumble. Is this the carpet? Okay, it's the other one. Okay, so you guys know that I flood every Royal Rumble pre-show with AJ Lee speculations because I so want her back. And like I mentioned, we're going to talk about AJ Lee when we start talking about actual wrestling. But I have a story before I hand it over to Rob. Rob, do you want to kind of hear a maybe not so funny story?
Sure, why not?
Okay, so, you know, I've said this to Rob. My boss, one of my bosses, is on a vacation in Greece. So I'm covering the majority of his shifts, and I only had one day off this week. So I'm basically running on autopilot. Yesterday I had the day shift when usually I have a day off, and all day yesterday I had to tell myself that it's not Friday. So basically it was this weird day yesterday for me. So today I go to work and I'm like, okay, today is Friday. You have the show today. But before I reached work, Rob, and lovely, lovely people in the chat, I'm going to need you to bear with me. This is, what the hell? So I'm walking to work. It's a half an hour walk. And I go through an alley, which isn't like your guys' alley. It's just this shortcut towards the main street that my bar is situated at. A lot of people go through there. It is also the back door of a school. The back door entrance of a school. It's also the entrance of the of the yard of the school. So a lot of children there, not yet because school hasn't started. So what happened was it was 9:30 in the freaking morning. 9:30 in the morning. And I saw a taxi driver, you know, a cab driver, having sex at the back of his taxi car. 7:30 in the morning, right behind the school. And I'm sorry, but that is why where I usually sit. And it's the same company that I call. So I got so goddamn uncomfortable that I couldn't even so uncomfortable. I swear. And I rushed off because I didn't want to watch that. My stupid brain didn't go, oh, see what the cab number is, you know, the number of the car itself, just so you don't take this cab when it comes to, you know, when it comes. And I didn't, because seriously, I was so uncomfortable watching this. So I go to work and I tell the story to all of the people that came to the bar today. And one of them, I had the two most annoying questions ever. So I tell one of the people that comes usually first in the bar, and I told him the story, and he was like, was it a hooker? How am I supposed to know that? I didn't knock and ask. How the fuck am I supposed to know that? Seriously. And the second guy was, while he was driving the car, literally told you that he was having sex in the back seat. Why is no one listening to me?
Oh, God.
What's happening? And like, okay, so this sounds like a wonderful intro story that I should tell on the show. And I was like, of course, why isn't a cab driver having a better Friday than me? Thank you, Zach. This is probably, it was what day? He said that it was
National Cheese Pizza Day.
National Cheese Pizza Day. This is probably my favorite one after the peaches one. Yes. So, Rob, do you want to say some words before I plug all the crap that we need to plug and start talking about AJ?
Yeah. So, like I said earlier, I was going to talk about it. I might as well just bring it up now. So, if you've been watching our show for a couple years, you've known that I don't shy away from it, or there's no reason to shy away from it. But my father had breast cancer, which is very rare in men. However, it came back recently, and he's been getting the help he's needed at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, the very famous Mayo Clinic that you always hear about in the news and TV. So he's at the right place. It's been obviously hard on the family and everything going down. They found multiple lesions. It's just been very, very tough to deal with, seeing somebody you care about so much in the pain that they've been in. They found the lesions on like near his spine, on his, like, so it's bad. It's been so bad, like he's has fractured, like fractures, like near and all around, like it. I don't exactly know like the medical terms and stuff like that, but it's been rough when you see somebody in pain like that. However, they are starting radiation on Monday, and doctors are optimistic, and so I am too. If the best doctors in the world are optimistic, then I am too. So. That's why there was no show last week, and they're right now don't know on scheduling, Maggie's. I know we will not have a show next Friday, but we might do it Thursday or we might do it Saturday. We will have a show next week, one way or another. So just wanted people to know. And as I see in chat, yes, fuck cancer. I think most of us, or all of us, have known somebody that's been affected by cancer, and cancer can go F itself. And yeah, so things are different right now, but you know, just keeping my head up and hopeful. And yeah, so I am here. I did not want to miss this week's show. I'm doing the show at my parents' place while they are at Mayo, and I am taking care of
the pup carpet.
Number one, and the other one over there, if you can't, I can't tell if you can see it or not, but
well, it's blurry, but
yeah, that's true. But yeah, so that's why I'm here, and Maggie's gonna plug our shit.
Yes, guys, hi. This is a wrestling show. Thank you so much for joining us. Please leave a like on the video. It is the most awesome way in which you can support us. It is also for free. If you'd like to support the show or the channel or everyone working at Fightful, you can send a super chat. It's the bottom of the YouTube live chat, the little dollar sign. If you're watching on any other platform or you just want to help by keep making us keep a little bit more of the proceeds, you can set a Humper Chat at humperchats.com. Like I said, it makes keep a little bit more of the proceeds. You're going to have to want to subscribe to Fightful Select. There is going to be a lot of rumor killers, scoops, interviews, Q&As. Sean's Q&As are probably one of the most aggregated pieces ever on wrestling media, so you might as well go ahead and subscribe for $5.99 a month, the easiest money you're ever going to spend on wrestling. You're going to get a lot for your troubles. There is always a free tier in which Sean broke the news about AEW changing the time for AEW All Out. And it's premiere on HBO Max as a pay-per-view. So you're going to have to subscribe to Fightful Select so you can be up to date to everything about that. Like, share, and subscribe after the video is done. Please leave a comment below. It makes us fight the dirty, dirty algorithm for this pesky YouTube service that we have.
Yeah.
But yes, please leave a like on the video while you're here. And we might as well start talking about it.
Yes, we will start talking about it right now. As tonight, WWE SmackDown is taking place in Chicago, Illinois, at the Allstate Arena. And there's been a lot of rumors. Lots of talk about where SmackDown was on Monday, and Adam Pearce told CM Punk it's in Chicago. And
spectacular.
CM Punk told Becky Lynch that she would regret what she did. And Fightful Select had some reports on what was going on with that talk. And turns out that talk is about a potential return of AJ Lee, and we go to our AJ Lee correspondent Maggie to get her thoughts on this.
Well, using the Bible, of course. Get your Bible now, okay? Get your Bibles, okay? So let's talk about everything that led up to it, because this past week was clash in Paris, France. So at the beginning of the show, the Braun stars, Braun Breaker and Bronson Reed did a lot of pesky stuff. Thank you, Amanda. Everyone should have a Bible in their home. Of course you do. Everyone should be a Christian. So So they were banned from the building. Adam Pearce banned them from the building. Seth Rollins said that he always has a backup plan. He's always 20 steps ahead and everything. So what happened was, because it was a four-way, the match was perfectly acceptable. It was a four-way. Seth Rollins was fighting LA Knight, Jey Uso, and CM Punk for the World Heavyweight Championship. What happened was Becky Lynch was probably sitting under a ring for quite some time, dressed like a ninja. And she came out and low-blowed CM Punk while he was giving a second go-to-sleep to Seth Rollins. It was a really nice setup, too, because he gave a GTS to Seth and he bounced off the ropes and he landed on CM Punk while CM Punk was on the ground and he just landed on his back. It was so good. The sequence was really, really good. I liked it. So he was holding Seth Rollins up for the second GTS and Becky Lynch just gave him a low blow. The moment that happened, something started happening in my head and I'm like, wouldn't it be funny if this is how AJ Lee returns to fight Becky of all people, Becky? And then Seth Rollins gave CM Punk a curb stomp on the chair, and that's how he retained his heavyweight championship. Of course, it was a four-way, so there was no disqualification, and Becky was completely legal. Okay. So fast forward to Monday, CM Punk comes out and he calls out Seth Rollins, but of course he doesn't get Seth Rollins, he gets Becky Lynch. So this was a fantastic back and forth. I don't know why a lot of people didn't like this promo segment between Becky and Punk. Did you like it?
Yeah, I thought it was really good. I mean, I liked how they dug in and it made sense. It was one of those promos that was enticing. It kept you like, okay, where are they going with this? And I just thought it was really solid, really, really good. So
Punk said that her husband is a coward. I loved how Becky Lynch brought up the fact that the audience was chanting CM Punk's name every time there was a women's match on the card because they just didn't give a crap. And because, like, if you think about it, because CM Punk is has been so vocal every time about women's rights, and I'll always adore the guy for that. And like never in his life did he go on social media and say, guys, that's not cool. Support women's wrestling. Just stop doing that. Like, do that during any other segment of the show when Triple H is on, when Vince McMahon decides to come out every time John Cena is on the microphone, do it then. But when women are wrestling, watch the women's wrestling. Don't chant for my name. And I love the fact that Becky brought this up because for the majority of the men's locker room, their problem with CM Punk leaving was the fact that he left. For Becky, it was the fact that he left in such a way and he gave zero crap about what he was doing to the locker room to the point where he was a vocal point for wrestling fans during their matches. And I love that this was brought up. So Punk, of course, said that Seth Rollins was hiding behind his wife. That's about the time when Seth Rollins came out and then went back again. That was really weird to me. I mean, he came out and then he went back. It was a bit weird. So Becky starts to slap around Punk. What do you call that? A paintbrush?
Yeah, that's probably yeah.
Okay, so, and it was really annoying. You can't, she's so good. This was extremely annoying. So annoying. So, CM Punk's last words to her were, "Your husband is gonna regret cashing in on me, and you're gonna regret putting your hands on me." And then he left the ring. Of course, there were a lot of AJ Lee chants during this promo, and Becky was like, "She doesn't work here." So good. So this was also because at the end of Clash in Paris, what happened was a fan was holding a sign that said, "CM Punk bring AJ Lee back." And Punk took the sign, stared at it for a while, and gave it back to the fan. Well, hi, carpet. Sweet six, such a good doggy. I mean, that is so a carpet. That's the brand. It also a throwback to that one time CM Punk did a Black Widow. Was it on John Cena? I feel like it was on John Cena.
Yeah, I think it was. Let's see here.
No, I don't think. Okay, that's fine. He just gave a Black Widow. Of course, no one can do a Black Widow as good as AJ Lee.
This is a Bryn alert.
Okay, this legitimately scared the crap out of me, by the way.
What it served for. I remember I told you I was never going to tell you beforehand that as
I
part of the group.
get it. That's you know, as a part of joke, I get it. Yeah, so listen, a point was brought up by Bonkers in the chat.
Trying to get the YouTube views, so let's put your head up a little bit. There you go. Okay.
Yes.
Ah. Okay.
Oh, it was John Cena. Okay. Yeah. I'm so good. It's as if it happened 2 weeks ago. Okay, so yes, I did bring up the point from that Bonkers had. Because this, guys, this isn't official. AJ Lee might not show up tonight whatsoever. This is me hyping myself up while trying not to. It's the dumbest thing ever. So he mentioned that it's stupid for them to bring her in now instead of just debuting her on WrestlePalooza. I hate the name of that pay-per-view.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it like that every time until September 20th. I'm not kidding. So in my point of view, it's like this. So if you debut her at WrestlePalooza, you get all of the hype at one time. If you debut her now, you get the hype out of her return, and then you get the hype out of her first match back. That's two things to be really, really excited about. Apart from just they need the buzz, they need the clicks, they need the social views and everything. This is from my perspective, of course. I won't be, well, I'm lying. I'll be extremely mad if they debut her on WrestlePalooza. It's like because there's a theory I saw today on the interweb
What the hell is the
about,
internet?
yes, of CM Punk choosing Rhea Ripley as her partner, as his partner at WrestlePalooza. And then Asuka attacking Rhea Ripley backstage at WrestleMania. And then CM Punk says, "Well, thank God I have a backup plan." And then it's AJ.
Yeah, I don't. I mean,
Which will be the
I.
stupidest thing in the world.
Yeah, I don't think
Because
you go that route at all.
we all know what's gonna happen.
This is why I think they should do it this way. They should announce it tonight that it's going to be AJ Lee. But in my opinion, well, okay, I was going to say, in my opinion, you don't show her until WrestlePalooza. I mean, that's the way I would.
Do that.
But no, I was just thinking, I'm like, I would rather see her and then say, like, she's making her in-ring return at WrestlePalooza. That way you get those people to watch on ESPN, and you get the people watching on Netflix and all over the world. Like, you got to build it. So, I mean, we know they're probably going to announce Cena and Lesnar tonight. So.
Yeah. So on one hand, you have the potential. Potential. It's not, no one said it. So you potential AJ Lee debut return and Brock Lesnar. What?
AJ Lee could kick Brock's ass. We both know that, right?
Of course. Yeah. So it's the best way to build towards something is to build it on screen. Brent's kind of right, because CM Punk asked Adam Pearce where the show was. He says Chicago. So, and then he said tremendous. Like, what does that mean? I'm not going to lie. You know, I'm not going to lie. I'm freaking out a bit. And I've skipped the majority of my shift around the bar, and I kind of pulled a muscle. So it's, I swear on the Bible that I'm probably not going to be so disappointed if she doesn't come out tonight. But I kind of am, okay? So, because, like,
I was able to obtain footage of your reaction of what would happen if AJ Lee comes out. And that's pretty much it. Right on the former friend from former Fran from Waterboy, when Bobby Boucher took the I forgot the team's name, but he took him to the Bourbon Bowl. So
okay, so that is not at all going to be my reaction.
No, I thought I was close.
No, you weren't close at all. I'm going to be crying.
Oh, okay.
This is my mother, okay? She's like, and by the way, guys, I am so divorcing Steven Jensen after his horrible, horrible AJ Lee talk on last night's Spotlight. I'm so, so hurt by everything that he said.
It was a hell of a run.
Yeah, it was not. And if I didn't have Rob in my life, I wouldn't be rooting for the Vikings. But since I have Rob, I'll still be rooting for the Vikings. But just know, Steven Jensen, it's not because of you.
All right.
Awful, awful AJ Lee takes. Jesus fucking Christ, what the hell was that?
I'm kind of kidding, but Jeremy.
But not.
I'm going to have to send this to Jeremy so he can play it on the Spotlight next week.
So, the thing is, I'm kidding.
No, you're not. No, I'm kidding.
I'm kind of not. I'm just so... I mean, I know it's Steven, like, but what he said hurt me, okay? Like, I'm sorry. It was really, really hurtful. Fuck Cody Rhodes. Fuck all the way off. AJ Lee's better. So, the thing is that a lot of people, like Steven, think that the internet is hyped because of nostalgia. And a lot of people say that AJ Lee wasn't as good as everyone thinks. It was just that the bar was really low at the time. Ooh. So, listen, fuckers. I'm so sorry. But, like, I agree with the fact that AJ Lee was way ahead of her time. Because she tried to be a women's wrestler during a time when women's wrestling didn't matter whatsoever. It was the diva era. It was the era of reality shows and total divas and total Bellas and everything, which, again, it made people watch wrestling. And that is that has to be the most important thing, right? It was so not my cup of tea. Of course, it wasn't AJ Lee's cup of tea as well. So she put women's wrestling on the map during that time. So I came back to wrestling because of The Rock. He was battling John Cena for the second time. And then he disappeared, but I decided to stay and continue watching wrestling because of AJ. Because he immediately caught my eye. He was out there with Dolph Ziggler and Big E Langston. And
Big E Langston.
Yes, that second name was weird. My eyes were glued on the television every time she was there. She wasn't a girly's girl. And I was never a girly girl too. Everyone was so glamorous at the time and so sexy and feminine, in you know, which are all amazing and wonderful qualities. But I never saw myself in any one of these wrestlers. Never. Which I'm not saying that it's a problem, but it's certainly a way to make a young girl watch wrestling. And then there's AJ Lee, who was the weirdo and the comic book nerd and the geek. And she was really small, and I'm small, yet she used her body to the best way that she can, and she just bounced around and tapped out people.
Yeah.
I immediately saw myself into her. I'm not saying that we look alike. We are nothing alike. But she made me fall back in love with wrestling. And she made me have faith in women's wrestling. Because at that time, we weren't that far away from the concept of bra and panty matches as I wished we were. Women's matches were 5 to 6 minutes max. And all in all, counting today, we haven't seen AJ Lee in a WWE ring in 3,812 days. She won her tag team match at WrestleMania 31 with Paige. They battled the Bella Twins. And then the next night during Raw after WrestleMania, she won a tag team match. Naomi picked up the win. And this was the last time we ever saw AJ Lee on WWE television. And more than 10 years, this was March 3rd, I want to say. March 3rd, 2015. I've been so incredibly hopeful. I feel like this year I said, nah, it's not going to happen. I'm not going to talk about it anymore. If she doesn't want to come back, I absolutely I agree with her to a certain point, and I absolutely I understand, because she's so successful out of wrestling. I mean, she stayed in good terms with everyone in the company as she could. She was a mental health advocate. She still is. She has an extremely successful comic book. And she goes to comic cons, and all her lines are miles long. And you know why. And everyone's dressed like her. And she has inspired a whole generation of women's wrestlers to be in wrestling because of her.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Sean mentioned this on the Rob Pulse show, that she never got to enjoy the fruits of her labor because, like, she... I know that she wasn't there during the women's revolution, but in my eyes, she started the women's revolution. You can argue that it were the four horsewomen in NXT because they were in NXT at the time. But she opened the door to that. She opened the door and she kind of thought that her work was done and then she just went home. So she inspired so many women there and they were there because of her. I'm kind of bummed out that Cora Jade isn't there. I'm really, really bummed out that she's not there because she would have loved to have a storyline or a match with her. Roxanne is still there, and I'm so hopeful that they get a match together. So we still have no idea if this was this is going to be a one-off thing. Fingers crossed it's not. But, like, people are saying that, well, AJ Lee's going to get exposed because she was not that good in the ring. And she can't keep up with 10-minute-plus matches. What if she can? She kept herself in wonderful shape. She was a part of heels. It's like every time that woman uploads an Instagram photo and I'm like, did you ever leave wrestling? Did you ever leave the gym? Because I'm sorry, my entire finger can disappear into your abs. Like, what is, what? It's kind of not fair. So when she left in 2015, I was like, no, she's gonna come back. She's totally gonna come back. And then CM Punk didn't come back at all, whatsoever. And I was really, really hurt because to this day, no one could fill her shoes. And for me. I've fallen in love with a lot of female superstars like Mercedes Moné, like Toni Storm, like Becky Lynch, and I understand that I can praise a lot of them, but it's the one thing that made me fall in love with women's wrestling. Because up to that point, it was like hair pulling and flaps, and that did not look good, man. And I know we've all been in love with Lita and Trish and Beth Phoenix and Natalia, but the storylines they gave them were horrible. While AJ Lee was, at some point, she was the main character of the show. She was one of the few women to main event a Raw, apart from Lita. She was Raw GM. I mean, at this point, the only thing I can hope for is an eventual Caitlyn return as well. If AJ Lee is a part of the Rumble, I would love for them to do that in the Royal Rumble. But I'm getting way, way ahead of myself with this. I've been dreaming for this day. And now it's maybe sort of came because it's not set in stone that she's coming back tonight. But again, I'm kind of freaking out. I adore everyone that I've talked to. Doc, Bryn, Corey, you even. A lot of people are excited for me and not excited for AJ because they weren't there during her run. And I just couldn't shut up about her. So people are just excited for me. I promise I will not be pinching my nipples when AJ Lee returns. I will be sobbing. I will be crying. And I hope that I can eventually pick myself up so I can go to work. Because that's kind of important.
A super chat regarding that from Soupy says, suggestion, I know Maggie is working a lot, but I feel like this is worth bringing back the Maggie Records Her Live Reactions intro for this one. one time.
So I was wondering about that, sweetie. Thank you for the super chat. And yeah, I've been wondering about that. But the thing is, for emotional stuff like that, I rather not have a camera on me because I tend to not be genuine in those sorts of, you know.
Makes sense. No, it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Another super chat. Thank you, Soupy, for that.
Thank you, Soupy. Thank you so much for the super chat. Guys, take Soupy's, what do you call it?
Advice?
Do like Soupy and send us your super chat. Thank you.
I didn't know what you meant. Where you were going with that. Yeah, Ryan Sullivan did. He followed my lead by quoting the famous 12-time Oscar-winning film, Waterboy. Water sucks. Gatorade is better. So, thank you,
Ryan, for inspiring so many people to ask annoying questions in character, because Bryn is now a part of the Ryan Sullivan family.
Do they even have Gatorade in Bulgaria?
We don't, by the way. So, so let me see the exact quote, because this was so annoying. Yeah, we were talking about Wi-Fi. I said that Bulgaria, I've said this on the show numerous times, Bulgaria is known for our incredible Wi-Fi, and Bryn said they have Wi-Fi in Bulgaria.
Well played.
Yeah, I told Ryan to give her back her account. It's yes, thank you, Ryan, for inspiring so many people. I love you so much. If AJ weren't come back, I was gonna have so many insults towards your way. But AJ Lee's coming back, and there's nothing that could push me aside. You know, I'm gonna have, in the span of 1 month, Wardlow coming back and AJ Lee coming back.
There you go. It's like Christmas.
It's like Christmas during the fucking summer. I hate the summer. I'm so glad it's ending. So we didn't get a chance to talk about Wardlow, but do you have anything else WWE-wise? Because I have a question about something.
No, I'm good. Go ahead.
Okay, so Logan Paul versus Cena. The match was fine. It's a Logan Paul match, so I'm never gonna love it. So Logan Paul did a zigzag. John Cena did an end of days, which was so great because they're in Paris, and Paris loved Baron Corbin. He also did a Styles Clash. So here's the thing. There were murmurs backstage that AJ Styles wanted to fight, that John Cena wanted to fight AJ Styles during his retirement year. But they said no, which is fine, correct? Like,
no, not with me.
But if this is correct, then I have a question. So Triple H said, "Will John Cena ask for Brock Lesnar?" And you said yes. So if he asks for Brock Lesnar and then you say yes, but then John Cena asks for AJ Styles and you tell him no, so you have the power to say no, yet you still choose to say yes about certain stuff. So maybe not, you know, try pulling shit like that.
I don't want to get my hopes up here, but I mean, it's still not too late for Cena and Styles to have a one-off. Or
No, they're not going
to. It's not too late for that. No, I'm just saying, it's you never know.
They just...
Well, my goal was, like, for it to happen, what I wanted to happen, obviously I wanted AJ to win the title last week against Dominic. And then that's how I wanted it to like run it back there, because like Cena could challenge him for the Intercontinental title, the title he's never had. We get both that and we get AJ Styles. That's how it could, but yeah,
it made sense, but they just had to, because like when I saw that Dominic Mysterio versus AJ Styles wasn't main eventing Raw, I totally knew that it was going to be filled with shenanigans and stupid crap. So,
yeah.
Judgment Day were banned from ringside because Adam Pearce all of a sudden decided to do his job and not drink during the entire show. So he banned him from ringside. But El Grande, I almost said El Generico. So El Grande Americano came out and
had... Time out. Before I forget, how great would it be if the person that like stops is El Generico? Yeah, El Grande. It's El Generico is one that stops. Yeah, like, that would be the best.
El Grande,
but that's me living in fantasy land. Sorry.
El Generico will come out with the US title and it will be weird as hell.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah. But, shout out to Sammy who finally won.
Yeah. Faux show.
Yes. So, yeah, the El Grande came out and headbutted AJ Styles with a metal plate in his face, in his mask. And of course, AJ Styles lost the match. This was such bullcrap. I wasn't happy with it whatsoever. But we still haven't seen any movement with the other two El Grandes in that stable, which are obviously Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate. If you guys have been following us, you'll be 100% familiar with the fact that I adore Adam Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate. I almost said Adam Cole because I miss Adam Cole a lot. Yes, Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate, which were one of the pillars for NXT UK. I miss NXT UK. I miss the Heritage Cup. They got rid of the Heritage Cup. By the way, I thought that Becky Lynch was Tony D'Angelo.
I did too.
Yeah, because like, why is no one on NXT asking where Tony D is? Why is Stax too busy flirting with a beauty goddess? No one's asking where Tony D'Angelo is. I don't understand this.
I don't think
friends, am I right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So either the only reason I thought that this wasn't Ethan Page was because he's in the storyline with Chelsea Green on NXT, which is good. Yeah, Becky Lynch versus Nikki Bella. I had no hopes for this match, and the match delivered on no hopes. They have zero chemistry with one another, and I'm not saying that because I'm not the biggest Nikki Bella fan. But hear me out. We're gonna have AJ Lee and Nikki Bella in the same locker room again. So I'm going to need them to have at least a backstage segment. At least that. I want AJ Lee to slap the crap out of Nikki Bella.
Yeah. I had a feeling you'd say that.
It's not my cup of tea.
No, I know. Nope.
None whatsoever.
Oh, before we talk about Wardlow... Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, before we talk about Wardlow, we can do a little Cooper effect if you want.
Sounds good to me. Let's do it. Do, 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 do.
Guys, I don't know if we've ever talked about China on the show, on the Cooper Effect, but we're going to do it now. Because from Southwest China comes the story of a group of strangers who stopped at nothing to rescue a boy from a raging river. While unable to literally move heaven and earth, their determination was such that they altered the flow of the river with nothing less than their own bodies. The story began in a province near the scenic riverway frequented by visiting nature lovers. A boy was playing in a creek where the water flow was quite strong and lost his footing. Less than a foot of fast flowing water is still enough to move a parked car. And the boy was at the mercy of the elements as he tumbled down the waterway before being struck between two large stones with only his head sticking up above the torrent. Good Samaritans, mostly tourists, rushed to the scene and plotted the rescue maneuver. They first tried throwing a rope down to the boy, but it was not enough. Shortly after, the largest and strongest of them waded onto the stream and literally created a human wall to break the flow of the river long enough that someone could help get the boy out safely. One rescuer scaled down one rock and needed three attempts to dislodge the boy, the water making everything slippery and a solid grip unachievable. All the while, the weather was turning and the rescuers felt like they needed to succeed immediately or rains might cause the river to rise even further. They eventually freed the boy, who immediately cascaded down into the arms of another rescuer in the pool below. So I'm so glad that at least at some parts of the world, people can count on other good people for help, because I cannot. I'm a nature lover, and if something like that happens, I will not ever leave my apartment ever again. So I'm so thankful that there are wonderful people who decide to put their body and life on the line to rescue another human being. A child, but another human being. Kudos to people from China. Kudos to China. They're always leaps and bounds ahead, man.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, it's really cool that they did that. So, yeah.
I love rivers so much. I don't think I'm ever going to go into one now, but like,
you're fine. They're good.
Yeah, that was a totally different story. Let's talk about Wardlow.
Yeah, that guy came back.
Yeah, we couldn't talk about anything last week. So Wardlow came back. Tell me your thoughts about this.
It's one of those things where I was more happier for you. Like, it was good to see him back. You know, I know a lot of people like him. I like him. But, you know, putting him with a heel already, and I mean, at least they made it made sense a little bit with him and Takeshita kind of having like a face-to-face. I'm like I thought that was kind of dumb, but I'm like, at least they made somewhat sense. So I don't know, how big is this damn Callis family gonna be? That's my biggest issue right now with everything.
Am I a part of the Don Callis family?
Yeah, and by association you are.
Yeah. First of all, I'm extremely happy that Wardlow is back on my television. Oh no, he wasn't this week. I'm happy that he's back. I just hope they finally get to do something with the guy, because I don't know. The last couple of times didn't work that well.
Yep.
So, putting him right into another faction, I don't know how to feel about that. But it's the Don Callis family. And it kind of works. The Don Callis family, though, has some big meaty man on there. Like, he has Archer, he has Brian Cage. People keep forgetting about Brian Cage. It's up until now, I thought that we were gonna get a Wardlow match. We haven't, at least not yet. I don't know if he's gonna. He's not a Collision, right? Like, there's nothing.
I haven't seen him advertised for a Collision, but I'm not. I don't know if that's for sure though.
So he's been standing there looking all pretty after he beat the crap out of Nana. and he's in a suit. I mean, and I don't mean this in a sexual way. Guys, we do not want to see Wardlow in a suit. You want to see the guy in the ring because he's good in the ring. And somehow everyone keeps forgetting because we're not getting it. So what about, how about you put away your clothes. Just get in the ring. Please. So, like I said, he wasn't on this week's show. I was kind of disappointed about that. But what did happen on this week's show was Gabe Kidd was kidnapped. So Darby Allin naturally goes around with a body bag tied to his car with a chain. And apparently no one says anything about it. Like, see, he drives to the show and not one police car stops him and say, "Good day, sir. What is that? What the fuck is that at the back of your car?" No, like, they're too busy arresting people for pot possession. So, I don't understand this. People already know that I'm not the biggest Darby fan, but like, he drove off. Shocking. He drove off with Gabe Kidd in the body bag, and they were in Philadelphia, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so hear me out. David Lynch has talked a lot about Philadelphia, the city of Philadelphia. It was an inspiration to him. He said that it was an ugly city with ugly people and ugly buildings and everything, and the air was ugly and everything. So I've seen pictures of Philadelphia. Darby Allin. What?
Ugly football team, too.
Sure. So Darby Allin dragged Gabe Kidd through those huge ass potholes in Philadelphia. I don't think Gabe Kidd is capable of life. So, because like, Darby Allin reappeared on the show later, but not Gabe Kidd, correct? Correct me if I'm wrong, people. And I'm concerned because no, even comment, like, listen, I know that the majority of the commentary are faces or they do not care because they're Taz. I love Taz. Congratulations on the honors that you have been honored with. Yes. But like, no one on commentary was like, "Hey, where's Gabe Kidd?" No one. It's like, do you even care? Because he's on loan from New Japan. Like, have some explaining to do. Jesus.
Yeah. That part didn't really bother me. Like, I don't, like, really, it was just like one of those things where, you know, this is where they're going with Gabe Kidd and Darby. It's okay. Whatever. But we noticed the one thing that they did was, writing Kenny Omega off, which he pretty much confirmed to Fightful Select Report yesterday in a weird way. But
what did he say?
Well, he just basically said what we said in a tweet. Mm-hmm. Like, he was quote tweeting another aggregator, and it was just one of those things where it's just like, well, he's
okay
confirming our report, and it just I think it was a way. Sorry,
is he going to Japan?
No, well, yeah, he's going to Japan for
to see a doctor.
Well, I know he's going like for some gaming thing too, I believe. But I mean, that's where he goes. It's one of those things where he's like, cool, you know, as long as I get Kenny Omega back in my ring, that's really all I want. You know, whatever, if it takes a while, that's okay. You know, that's the way I look at it. I mean, damn, you look at it this way, you Swerve, depending on how long we don't have Kenny and we have Ospreay, like, shit, man, come on.
I was hoping that we get to see a second match between the Young Bucks and Kenny and Hangman, because it was kind of like this was where this was leading to. That's all, yeah. I'm gonna say, because last week we got the hype of Kenny Omega rescuing Hangman, and they were in the ring together, and then they hugged, and I'm like, all is well in the world, this is so great. And then during the main event this week, we had the Young Bucks, Kyle Fletcher and Josh Alexander versus Jet Speed, Kevin Knight and Speedball Mike Bailey versus and Kenny Omega and Hangman. At one point, all four of these people, Young Bucks and Hangman and Kenny, were in the ring, and they started brawling, and the crowd went wild, because that is the tag match of all tag matches. When it comes to storytelling, this is the match. I've seen people ask this question a lot: which match that you will play someone that doesn't watch wrestling and you want to get them into wrestling? It's not this match.
You're telling me you're not going to go with the New Rockers versus Techno Team 2000?
No.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
No, the match I'm going to play is Young Bucks versus Lucha Brothers, the Escalera de la Muerte match from the 2019 Double or Nothing. This is the match I'm playing. This was an insane match. An insane match. Everyone should watch it. You don't need storytelling. You have four people trying to murder each other with ladders and tables and everything. That's all you need to watch. But this tag team match, this is the mother and father of all tag team matches. Young Bucks versus Hangman and Kenny. This tag team match should be studied. It should. So I was kind of hoping...
Two matches that don't need to be studied: Goldberg versus Undertaker at Saudi, and Undertaker and Kane versus DX at Saudi. Those are two matches that should never be.
Oh my God! They got Shawn Michaels out of retirement for this match. I hope. And
one thing I'll say is he made a lot of money because of it. So
yeah, I hope he got 4,000 houses and a private jet with that money. Because Jesus Christ, that was so bad. And by the way, I didn't mention this, but girl, AJ, spend that money. I'm so sure that they paying her a buttload of money to come back. You go, okay? Spend that cash. I hope it's more than they're offering Punk. Become the breadwinner once again. Yeah. So I was really hyped for that, but of course, we're not going to get that match. I don't know. Who's Hangman fighting at All Out? Who's he fighting?
I don't know yet. Maybe somebody is checking.
It's not that far.
I mean, I guess it could be
2 weeks away.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he. God, they could do a six-man or trios match with I don't know. You think they're going with Fletcher? I mean, that's the only thing that comes to mind right now, but I'm kind of like, title versus title? Like, what are you doing?
No, not title versus title. I do understand where they're coming from. Fletcher is a good shout, but I know that what they're pushing on the show is FTR versus Copeland and Christian. This is the main thing. Thank you, Pile Driver Finisher. This is an excellent, excellent shout.
I'd be perfectly fine if it's Takeshita, by the way.
Why?
Because Takeshita kicks ass, that's why.
No, I know that, and I agree with you.
Okay, that's the only reason why. That's the only reason why.
They need to get started on the whole Takeshita versus Okada thing.
Yeah, and I think they're going that way. I really do.
I don't know, because I kind of feel like, is it true that I saw it somewhere that on the internet that Takeshita wanted to go into Wrestle Kingdom holding the IWGP Championship? He didn't want to win it at Wrestle Kingdom. He wanted to go in at Wrestle Kingdom with the championship. So what I predict happens is Takeshita wins the championship from Zack Sabre Jr., sadly. And Okada and Takeshita put both titles on the line at Wrestle Kingdom. Wow. And Takeshita becomes IWGP and Continental and unified champion at the same time. Because at one point, you got to start putting all your eggs in the Takeshita basket. And at that point, I feel like Takeshita should be a face.
Yeah.
Facing Okada, he should be a face, because they already... Don Callis has been really vocal about Okada being the best Japanese wrestler while Takeshita's right there, and he gives him the smirk, you know, the look. So, yeah. Because you're so low on babyfaces right now on AEW, this is a wonderful way to get a jump start on that. And I feel like the audience has been anxious to cheer for Takeshita for quite some
time. They have been. Yep. Yeah, I completely agree with you on this. And Takeshita, they kind of, I think they're moving the ball a little bit towards this. I think they're going to make him a face, and it's going to be good.
And Bryn's right in the chat. Takeshita has a legit case.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing about, and I was going to mention this too, I don't know if they would do Unified, because I mean that's New Japan's main title, and then you're like unifying it with a secondary title with AEW, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like that kind of lowers New Japan's title in a way, so I don't see them unifying it, but I could see him being a double champion, but I just don't see him unifying the title.
Oh no, not unifying, him wearing both championships, not unifying.
Maybe I misunderstood. The way you made it sound like you talked about them unifying the New Japan.
No. I almost said him becoming New Japan and Unified Champ, because that's how they.
Oh, gotcha. Now. Okay, I put both. When you said that, I put both of those together. I was like, I don't know how they that. So I got
called the championship now.
Yes, I smell what the Maggie's cooking. So we're good.
Yes. So, I kind of feel like this is the safe bet, but we still have no idea what they're going to decide to go with. But I'm all here for cheering for Takeshita, because everyone was cheering so much when he was babyface. And now when he has that character development, they can do more with that. Hopefully we can get to see that. So who, because I see suggestions in the chat, Wheeler said, I thought it was going to be Wardlow's return match against Briscoe. This is a wonderful shout, but here's the thing. I don't want Wardlow losing his debut match back. His first match back after so much time. And what I feel like they're doing now is building towards Mark Briscoe versus MJF. And I don't think Mark Briscoe can afford to lose whatsoever.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I wish they did more. First of all, of course, more women's matches. second of all, more Kyle O'Reilly on my television. I know him and Roddy are regulars on Collision, but nobody gives a crap about Collision. So maybe, probably, I don't know, because Kyle O'Reilly, I want to see Kyle O'Reilly versus Kyle Fletcher at a pay-per-view. I want to see that because they already had a match on Collision. It was Kyle versus Kyle. The crowd was brilliant. The crowd was brilliant during that match. It was, let's go Kyle. Kyle sucks. Kyle forever. This is Kyle. Sometimes wrestling crowds are so silly that I remember why I love wrestling. It was so, so great. But yes, please more Kyle O'Reilly. And maybe Wardlow on my television and a match back. Just have him powerbomb someone 50,000 times and we can get it over with.
There you go.
That is legitimately it. Hmm. One more person's back, Rob. That's Riho.
Who's that? Yeah.
So, yay. In my point of view, TK saw that AJ Lee's coming back, and he was like, what was throughout the entire Wednesday Wars, what was the one thing that beat NXT in the ratings each and every week? And that was Riho. So Tony decided to bring back Riho. So I'm not even lying right now. This is legitimate. She beat NXT in the ratings each and every week. Whether Riho is for you or not, because I actually saw that a lot of people didn't like Riho. This is news to me because everyone liked her. And now they automatically don't. And I have a lot of questions.
They're tired of seeing her figure on the shelves at Walmart and Target is why. I'm joking there. But she's a... The wrestling toy community calls her a peg warmer because her action figures are always there. Like, and I'm making a joke about it. That's why they're not happy.
What does a peg warmer mean?
It means it stays on the peg like for a long time. Like on the, it's you know when you go to the store and an item's hanging, like on its.
Uh-huh.
That's it's hook? Called a. Yeah, that's pretty. They call it a peg.
I don't know. Peg warmer.
Yeah. Peg warmer. And I'm joking. Like that's why they're mad. That's why they're not happy because her action figures don't sell. I'm making a joke. That's not the case at all. I think her being back is great. I enjoy her matches. And she has a. Brent got me.
What did she say?
Yeah. She popped me with that one. But no, it's just I lost my train of thought with that. That got me. No, Riho, like her matches are entertaining, so she's just moving like fast. Like, you know, I like her matches. They're good. She's entertaining.
Yeah. So. My question is, how are you feeling about her coming back after missing almost a year at AEW and right out of the gate receiving a title shot.
I'm okay with it.
Really? Because I'm not.
The reason why is I think part of it's because I like Rio so much and why I'm okay with it. But story-wise, you're right. It doesn't make much sense.
Story-wise, because I adore Riho. I adore Riho. The majority of the people who don't like her in-ring work don't like her because she's always in the ring with women so bigger than her, and they feel like it's not realistic. Well, the thing is now, Riho versus Mercedes Moné is the thing that I wanted to see from the beginning of Mercedes Moné's residency in AEW. Because I want to see what both of them look like in the ring against each other. Because I feel like Mercedes Moné, every time we talk about Mercedes in the ring, even when she was Sasha Banks in WWE, she sold the crap out of her neck as if she didn't want to live anymore. And of course, she's going to bump like crazy for Riho. And I want to see that match more than anything. So this is probably why I'm not so pissed off about the fact that she just came back and she's getting a title match. I don't know if they made it official yet, but I'm just going to go ahead and assume that that's exactly what they're doing. And I understand why people aren't okay with this. Believe me, I do, because it makes zero sense story-wise. Because exactly like people said in the chat, there are a lot of hardworking women backstage who were there throughout the entire year. Because Jamie Hayter came back after missing a long time. She didn't go straight into the title picture. No, she went into right where she left off.
Yeah.
With Tekla, because it was Tekla that, you know, she was targeted by Tekla. And then she goes right into that. So I'm not saying that I'm happy about it, but what I'm going to get is Moné versus Riho. And I'm not going to pretend that that's not going to be an awesome, awesome match. So I'm going to take what I can get. It is, for me, it is kind of a dream match. The first time I laid my eyes on Riho, I said, I want to see that woman against Sasha Banks. This is immediately what I said to myself. Not going to lie, I also want to see her against AJ Lee. Shocking, I know. But my one true dream match was always going to be Sasha Banks versus AJ Lee. God knows we're not going to see that. But I understand. I feel like all you guys are entitled to be annoyed at that. But I choose to look at it this way. I just hope that fewer and fewer title shots are presented this way from now on.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Fingers crossed.
Well, Maggie, it's time to plug your shit.
Of course, guys. You can follow me on Twix or X or whatever at Maggie_IK and on Instagram at Maggie.IK. If you're still doing the Blue Sky thing, I'm not going to lie. I kept Blue Sky just because of Bryn, and then she moved over to X. We communicate on X now, and I just haven't even looked at my Blue Sky for, you know, 2 weeks now, probably. Yeah, if you're still doing the Blue Sky thing, it's at Maggie-IK. Thank you so much, guys. Please leave a like on the video while exiting the show, and please leave a comment below to help with the awful, awful algorithm that absolutely hates us. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us on this wonderful Friday afternoon, evening, whatever you guys are watching. Please don't forget to subscribe to Fightful Select. Thank you so much, Rob.
Guys, you can follow me at Rob Wilkins on X, also on Instagram and Threads at Fightful Rob. Next week, like I said, we won't be here on Friday, but we might do a show on Saturday or Sunday. or Saturday. Yeah, Thursday or Saturday, maybe. So we'll keep you up to date. Follow us on X. Yeah, that's the other thing. Action or Dean 3 show taking place tomorrow during the Collision taping. That's going to be a good show. I saw Wheeler Yuta is taking on. Bryn, who's Wheeler Yuta wrestling? I just saw the name and now I'm forgetting it. But they just announced that. That's going to be good. It's going to be a good time. Maybe she'll see that. But anyways, guys, want to say, yeah, there it is. Matt Nicole. Yes. That's going to be good. It could be. Should be. There we go. She's Mad Dog Climate. Mad Dog Connolly.
Climb.
I know, Climb. I can't read. It's my first day. But
it's going to be a really fun show.
It's an indie show that they're doing with Ring of Honor. Like a,
yes. It's going to be really, really good.
Collaboration with them. So good times. They did one a few months ago at Double or Nothing in Arizona. They did one. So,
yes.
But yeah. I recommend checking that out. It'll be on
YouTube, I think.
I think. Yeah, there's a Lucha Trios match, Billy Starks versus Nicole Matthews, lots of other things. So, you know, I don't want to leave people hanging, so let me see where it's going to be or what time and where it's airing. So, let's see. September 6th, 2300 Arena.
So tomorrow.
Yeah. It doesn't say. Maybe it's going to be the following week. I don't know. Maybe. Let's see here. Yeah. Okay. Ring of Honor, YouTube sometime late next week. There we go.
Okay. So.
Yeah. All right, guys. So, like I said, we'll see you next week. And want to say thank you again for tuning in. We appreciate you more than you know. And we hope
don't forget to light it up tonight.
Yeah, light it up. Light it up, bitch. Light it up. All right, kids. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Coexisting with Rob and Maggie. You can check out all our previous episodes on your favorite podcast platforms or youtube.com/FightfulOverbooked.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.